I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Sally Bosman. In the headlines, GFA asked to justify performance of Black Stars of Nations Cup tournament. NDC challenges Nana Akufo-Addo to his personal records. Wager MPP trains polling agents on new biometric registration. Media urged to rest Woyome Gate scandal. Oil discovered off coasts of Liberia and Sierra Leone. Cholera kills 644 and infects 26,000 in DR Congo, and clashes between rival ethnic groups in Libya claim scores of lives. Says the summary by Lily Devil.
Government is seeking answers from the Ghana Football Association on what went wrong at the just-ended African Cup of Nations, AFCON, receiving the leadership of the GFA and the Minister of Youth and Sports, Kofi Umado, at the Castle Osu. Vice President Mahama admits that even though the Black Stars did their best, something probably might have gone wrong. The Wager constituency of the New Patriotic Party NPP has organized a trainer of trainers program on the new biometric registration exercise for more than 130 polling agents and supervisors in the constituency. In an interview with the GNA, the chairman of the constituency, Albert Sam, said the trained agents will undertake house-to-house education program for the public, particularly eligible voters, on the biometric exercise to disabuse their minds from the false speculation that the biometric equipment could cause cancer in women and cause erectile dysfunction in men. A political historian, Nana Isifo Kondria, has asked the media to rest the Wayome Gate scandal and focus attention on development issues. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Nana Isifo Kondria said the Wayome issue has been running in the media for far too long, and it is high time the media put an end to it. Oil has been found off the coast of Liberia and Sierra Leone. Oil companies African Petroleum and Anadarko say further tests are needed to see how commercially viable the finds are. Hopes have been raised that an oil bonanza could spur growth in the West African states, which are still recovering from civil wars. And cholera has killed 664 people and infected 26,000 in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The UN said the epidemic has spread to 9 out of the 11 provinces in the country, according to a research note from the Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. Lack of access to potable water remains the single most important cause of the recurrent cholera outbreaks.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are Total. Government seeking answers from the Ghana Football Association on what went wrong at the just-ended Africa Cup of Nations, AFCON, receiving the leadership of the GFA and Minister of Youth and Sports, Kofi Umado, at the Castle Osu. Vice President Mahama admitted that even though the Black Stars did their best, something probably might have gone wrong. The meeting, which later went behind closed doors, discussed challenges encountered by the GFA, particularly some concerning management and the technical teams. The GFA will present a report to the Ministry of Youth and Sports today for onward submission to the government. Pascalina Dadivo was there. Many Ghanaians were disappointed at the performance of the national team, the Black Stars, at the just-ended AFCON. After 30 years since Ghana won the trophy, hopes were raised beyond reasonable doubt that the trophy was moving straight to Ghana. The otherwise abysmal performance of the Stars has generated criticisms, including suggestions that the coach, Goran Stevanovic, be sacked. The only body which has the final say in all these is the Ghana Football Association, GFA. Government is seeking answers from the GFA as to what went wrong, having completed all arrangements with regard to preparations towards the tournament. Something probably might have gone wrong. Vice President Mahama acknowledged that in developing the sport, government and the GFA are partners. He said the Black Stars did their best. He, however, regretted that Asamoah has decided to leave the national team. The vice president cautioned the media against negative reports concerning the national team.
Ghanaians are very passionate. There have been a lot of discussions about the team, and indeed some of those discussions have demoralized some of the players, because some of the players have come for very strong criticism. That is the nature of Ghana. It's unfortunate that as a result of those criticisms, Kamajan, who is one of our finest players, said that he was taking a break from playing for the national team. I'd just like to encourage him to think about it and sometimes then. After all, Drogba also lost a penalty in the final. I don't think that in Ivory Coast we have criticized him the same way as we have done to Asamoah Gyan. The purpose of this meeting is, one, to discuss a few of the challenges that we face and to see how we can expedite work on finalizing a report on what happened, so that together with you, government can assist you to work and put the team in the kind of condition of mind that would make them continue to make us out.
President of the GFA, Kwesi Nyantichi, said it was unfortunate that the national team could not bring the cup home. He said some work needs to be done on the management and technical teams.
Indeed, this is the first time that a high-level invitation has been extended to the FA after a major tournament such as the Nations Cup to do a soul-searching and an introspection of events that occurred during a competition such as the Nations Cup. This was a competition that a lot of Ghanaians expected that Ghana was going to annex the trophy. We put in place the necessary strategies, including a financial plan which was graciously approved by the government. We did other things, but unfortunately we couldn't win the cup. The GFA, we believe that the report will form the basis for far-reaching decisions to be taken on the future of the team regarding issues relating to management, technical, and what have you.
The Minister of Youth and Sports, Kofi Humado, said on the 13th of this month, the ministry directed the GFA to prepare a technical report spelling out possible management problems and how performance could be improved upon.
I thank you very much for your support throughout. Unfortunately, we couldn't win the cup, but as things are, we think that we just need to review our performance, both in terms of management and in terms of the team, and see how we can improve upon our performance in subsequent international engagement.
When all is said and done, the GFA hopes to annex the trophy come January 2013. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevo, Accra.
The Kitu South constituency chairman of the NDC, Marshall Akume, says the NPP would be disappointed if it thinks current agitations in the constituency offers an opening to make inroads. Mr. Akume was speaking in an interview following a second demonstration by concerned citizens of Somekliko for the split of the Kitu South district at the one held last Friday for Aplau to be designated a municipality. He said the constituency executives involved in the agitations is not meant to undermine the government, but to reflect the mood of the people. The demonstrators marched through Nogopo through Agbuzume to Kleko with placards, some reading, "Professor Mills, are you not a father for Kitu South as well?" and "New district means faster development." Mr. Akume said agitations in the district reflect the people's craving for a new district to consolidate what the government has so far done for them. He said the district is qualified in terms of population size to be split into two. A prominent member of the NDC in Sunyaya, Nana Mankuna Nimpong, has expressed appreciation to some leading members of the party for initiating steps to unite President John Evans Atta Mills and former President Jerry John Rawlings, founder of the party. Nana Nimpong thanked National Security Advisor Brigadier General Nunu Mensah, Chairman of the National Development Planning Commission Paul Victor Obing, National Chairman of the party Kwabneji, and other important figures in the party for their efforts. Nana Nimpong, who was speaking to a section of the media at his residence in Sunyai, expressed the hope that such positive moves will help unite the entire NDC family. He said sectionalism in the party became an open secret after the party's congress in Sunyai last year. He said the unification steps being taken will ensure oneness of purpose. It will descend to the lower ranks, which will augur well for teamwork in the party's electioneering for the December elections. He said politics allows for free expression of views, but unfortunately in this part of the world, one's views are usually perceived to be negative to the others. Nana Nimpong advised the leadership of the party to take in good faith constructive criticisms. It said the biometric registration exercise, the first ever in Ghana, will eliminate any irregularities that occurred during previous polls and advised members of the party to register in their numbers during the exercise. As election 2012 heats up, the NDC is challenging the flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, to point out a single tangible achievement to his credit, both as a member of parliament and minister of state. According to the party, Nana Addo's continued refusal to acknowledge the monumental achievements of the government in all sectors of the economy, resorting to politics of vilification, threats and tribalism, will not help the country's young democracy. Here's a news desk report.
The reaction of the NDC follows the NPP rally held in Accra over the weekend, in which the NPP flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo was reported to have accused the NDC of non-performance, thus the NDC described as a smacking of double standards and cheap political talk. In the view of the NDC, under President Mills's three-year rule, the party has performed far better than the NPP in their 8 years. The party cited the massive infrastructural projects, distribution of free laptop computers to students, distribution of fire tenders to the Ghana National Fire Service, acquisition of naval ships for the oil and gas industry, the enhanced pay structure for workers under the single spine salary structure as examples of some achievements. According to the NDC, the accusation by Nana Akufo-Addo is largely unfounded, since criticism of his character is not just by the NDC, but by people within his own backyard. The party says Ghanaians are still wondering and asking the question why Nana Addo, as Attorney General, was reluctant to and finally failed to prosecute the three women who were arrested in 2002 at the Kotoka International Airport for possessing narcotic substances.
A political historian, Anne Sufi Kondia, has asked the media to focus attention on development issues. He says the Woyome issue has been running in the media for far too long, and it is high time the media puts an end to it. Mr. Kondia advised the media to use their editorial discretion carefully, since it shows the stand of a particular media house on an issue. He said the media has filled the country and must sit up. Mr. Kondia spoke to Agatha Samoa.
There may be nothing the matter wrong with it, but there is substantial lot of wrongness in it. We have something that is called editorial discretion that allows the media editors to take their decision. The concept was that the media editors were going to use that discretion very, very carefully. So if you come back to this Woyome thing, having run for all these days and weeks, and you're still bombarded by pontiffs who at the end of the day say nothing, very empty, loudest they shout on television, radio, simply a pollution and concoction of lies, and a pollution that abuses editorial discretion, a pollution that abuses the system, a pollution that does not permit the public to make up their minds in understanding what the facts are and what are the untruths. It's such a shame that I'm afraid, as far as my profession is concerned, that the first one, this generation of journalism, radio and television and all of them who parade as such are going to go down very badly in the history books of this country as far as the media is concerned. They have done too badly. as far as this. It needn't be. You want the facts, yes, let the people who know the facts speak about it and run on. You have got so many things to think about in this country. Health, education, and all kinds of things. What do we see? Every day, 48 hours of the day, if it's not in G or Akan, it is in English. And I don't mind the impoverishness of the English they speak, nor the impoverishness of the Akan language they pretend to speak. But I am concerned about whether it is right or wrong, and they've been absolutely wrong. The media has failed this country on this issue.
A political historian, Anil Sufi Kondia, the Wajir constituency of the NPP has organized a train of trainers program on the new biometric registration exercise for more than 130 polling agents and supervisors in the constituency. The chairman of the constituency, Albert Sam, told the GNA in an interview in Accra that the trained agents will undertake house-to-house education for the public, particularly eligible voters, on the biometric exercise. We bring you a news desk report.
Mr. Albert Sam said the exercise will help disabuse the minds of voters from the false speculation that the biometric equipment could cause cancer in women and erectile dysfunction in men. He said the NPP has intensified its educational programs to ensure electoral victory this year, adding that the party will not be complacent this time around. Mr. Sam expressed optimism that with the creation of more constituencies, access to polling stations will be easier for the electorate. On President Mills' State of the Nation address, he noted that it was a repetition of issues in the public domain without any concrete evidence or action. Mr. Sam said, President Mills should have been specific on the quantity of school uniforms and exercise books his administration had distributed and efforts to reduce the high cost of living and petroleum products. He said Ghanaians wanted to know the actual revenue acquired from the oil industry since Ghana started lifting the product. Mr. Sam said the NDC in his 2008 manifesto said the NHIS will be made 1/10 premium, but is now talking about capitation of the scheme. He appealed to President Mills to ensure free, fair and transparent elections.
That was a news desk report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. GFA asked to justify performance of Black Stars of Nations Cup tournament. NDC challenges Nana Akufo-Addo to his personal records. Wajir NPP trains polling agents on new biometric registration. Media urged to rest William Gate scandal. Oil discovered off coasts of Liberia and Sierra Leone. Cholera kills 644 and infects 26,000 in DR Congo, and clashes between rival ethnic groups in Libya claim scores of lives. Please stay with us.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Welcome back. The majority leader in Parliament, Cletus Avoka, is advocating the recrafting of Article 117 of the 1992 Constitution, which grants the parliamentarian immunity. This is to ensure that MPs are not treated as being above the law and at the same time ensure that they're available to perform their duties. Mr. Avoka was speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News. He spoke to Agatha Samwa.
Article 117 of the Constitution is so open-ended, if I put it that way, it's so terse that it gives the police a lot of challenges when they have to apprehend or invite a member of parliament to investigate matters concerning his conduct. I think Article 117 is so pervasive that if we don't take time, at the end of the day, it will look like members of parliament are super Ghanaians and therefore cannot be subjected to the due process of law. Because if you look at it, it says that if somebody is on his way to parliament and that is subject to several interpretations, or attending parliament or returning from parliament. So these are the daily activities or lifestyles of people. You are either going to work or you are at work site or you are from work. So if that is the case, then the police will be at a disadvantage, or the security agencies or the court officer will be at a disadvantage. disadvantage as to when to actually have a legal right to also exercise their duties on a member of parliament. So I think that on the whole, to balance the scales, to make sure that the MP is available to do work in parliament, and at the same time to make sure that the MP is not above the law of this country, we have to recraft the provisions of that article in the constitution to be able to satisfy the two aspects, to be able to ensure that unduly members of parliament are not prevented from doing their work in parliament, and at the same time they submit themselves to the laws of the country when they fall foul of the law. So that provision, Article 117, has a lot of grey areas which we have to look at. Why in parliament we thought that we should revisit the area and then provide some guidelines of some sort, some modalities, so that it will be easier for the police to be able to get somebody whom they want, give a statement and be bailed, or even go on his own recognizance or whatever. I think that there might be a way of fashioning this thing. Otherwise, government after government have been falling foul of this law, of this provision in the constitution.
So would you say that Obi Amwa shouldn't have been arrested because he enjoys parliamentary immunity?
They not just enjoy parliamentary immunity. Maybe we will all have to go that and find out what he is doing. On that fateful Sunday, I was with Obi Amwa at a function of a committee of parliament. We were meeting our colleagues from the UK Parliament, House of Commons, and he decided to go home while the rest remained in the hotel. So you can interpret that he was coming from parliament. At the same time, he had discharged responsibility, and maybe he was going home to rest and then advise himself the following day. And therefore, you can also say that the police were right to arrest him on Sunday at home when he was not in parliament or attending parliament. So that constitutional provision has a lot of challenges, and I think that we have to revisit it.
So it means that parliament is dissatisfied with Article 117?
Not just parliament, but well-meaning Ghanaians, all citizens of this country. We must have clear and unambiguous.
Majority leader Kletu Zavoka, in that interview with Agatha Samwa, the public relations officer of the Ghana Bar Association, Anthony Fulton, also reiterated the need for the provision to be looked at again. He commended Parliament for setting up a committee to look into the issue.
The provision was not either crafted tightly or a lot of leeway was given such that, unfortunately, this is where we find ourselves. Because if you look at the language of the provision, yes, I agree entirely with you that there's a lot of room for abuse, because when do you determine whether a person is on his way to or attending or returning from any proceedings of parliament? So I believe that the attempt by parliament to set up a committee to find a way of making this provision realizable, I think it's a commendable one. Because as it stands now, you realize that every side of the aisle is talking about when their persons were arrested. But I think that what it should be for the benefit of the country is clear guidelines.
So would you say the police erred in arresting Mr. Obi Amwa in his home?
I cannot say so. I cannot say so. You see, because the problem that we will be faced with will be at that point in time when Mr. Amwa was arrested, what was he doing? So there must be clear guidelines as to what should be done.
Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Bar Association, Anthony Fulton, in that interview with Agatha Samwa. Presidential and parliamentary candidates for the 2012 elections have been asked to be mindful of the promises they make to the electorate. The chairman of the GAP Presbytery, Reverend Dr. Godwin Meanwell Donko, advised the candidates to allow honesty and integrity to guide them in their intentions for Ghana. Reverend Dr. Donko speaking at the 9th anniversary of the GAP Presbytery in Accra. A report by Rita Nyako.
The GAP Presbytery, since its inception in 1922, has played a leading role in the development and growth of the Presbyterian Church of Ghana. The Presbytery has a multi-ethnic membership from every region of the country. Reverend Dr. Donko said the Presbytery has lined up a number of programs to help sensitize the general public on the need for peaceful political and social coexistence. He said efforts of the Presbytery together with other Christian organizations will help the nation to conduct a peaceful election. Reverend Dr. Donko encouraged all Christians to pray for a free, fair and peaceful election and asked eligible voters to massively turn up for the biometric registration when it is opened next month. The chairman of the 90th Anniversary Planning Committee, Reverend Kisiedu Ayi, said the anniversary, which started last year, will run until May. He said some of the remaining events include a congregational prayer session, a youth rally and blood donation. He called on the public to join them in the celebration.
Rita Nyaku's report. The Minister of Environment, Science and Technology, Madam Sherry Aite, says the role energy plays in the socioeconomic development of any country cannot be overemphasized. She said the phenomenon of climate change has alerted the country to check practices that in the long run induce and accelerate environmental challenges. She made this known as the first West African Clean Energy and Environment Conference in Accra. Mary Atuli Alinda Nyan was there and report.
The West African Clean Energy and Environment Conference focuses on oil and gas, renewable energy and environment in West Africa. The Minister for Environment, Science and Technology, Madam Sherry Aite, said, apart from hydroelectric power, the potential exists for solar energy in several parts of the country, particularly in the northern parts where the savanna vegetation provides unimpeded access to sunlight. She noted that the problem with this source of energy is the availability of appropriate technology that can help large-scale commercial generation of solar energy for economic use. Madam Aite hoped the conference will be able to develop proposals and strategies that will ensure that clean energy exploitation is given priority to advance Ghana's developmental agenda. In a message, the Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, E.T. Mensa, said, among countries in the West African sub-region, Ghana abounds in enormous water resources such as rivers and lakes. He mentioned that water quality, which a few years ago was fairly good, has in recent years shown signs of gradual deterioration.
Mary Atuli Alinda Nyan's report. The Controller and Accountant General's Department has said February salaries of all public sector workers who are paid through the Government of Ghana mechanized payroll will delay. A statement issued in Accra yesterday said salaries for February will start from February 29, 2012 instead of the earlier published date of February 21. The statement said the delay is as a result of some technical challenges the department encountered during the February payroll process. It deeply regrets any inconveniences that delay might cause clients and the general public. We'll be back.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Oil has been found off the coast of Liberia and Sierra Leone. Oil companies African Petroleum and Anadarko say further tests are needed to see how commercially viable the finds are. Nevertheless, hopes have been raised that an oil bonanza could spur growth in the West African states, which are still recovering from civil wars. A cholera epidemic has spread to 9 out of the 11 provinces in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The UN said the spread is worrisome as the epidemic has so far killed 644 people and infected 26,000 since January 2011, according to a research note from the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, UNOCHA. Lack of access to potable water remains the single most important cause of the recurrent cholera outbreaks. Scores have been killed and injured in clashes between two rival ethnic groups in Libya's remote southeastern area. Aid workers say rockets, mortars and gunfire have rocked residential areas in the desert town of Al-Kufra for the past 24 hours. Fighting broke out between the Zwai and Tebu groups 10 days ago. Army Chief Youssef Al-Mangoush said government troops will be sent in if fighting does not stop in Al-Kufra. Now the main points of the news again. The government is seeking answers from the Ghana Football Association on what went wrong at the just-ended African Cup of Nations AFCON. Receiving the leadership of the GFA and Minister of Youth and Sports Kofi Houmadou Adekasi-Lusu, Vice President Mahama admitted that even though the Black Stars did their best, something probably might have gone wrong. And cholera has killed 644 and infected 26,000 in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The news was broadcast on Radio Ghana Accra.